welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, The Transformation of the Mind. And I want to ask, is God daily transforming your thought life to be like His, or is the world conforming you to its way of thinking? God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In my last sermon 2 weeks ago, when I was with you before our trip to Boston, I preached on Romans chapter 12. Do you remember that? Romans chapter 12, the Holy Spirit says to us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And in that sermon 2 weeks ago, I focused mostly on that first part of the verse, not being conformed to this world. Remember, by especially the constant bombardment of the entertainment industry. This week, I'd like to speak with you on the second part of that verse, namely, having our minds renewed, being transformed by the renewal of your minds. Did you know that God wants to change your mind? He wants to change your thoughts, your way of thinking, what goes on in the headquarters up here of your body. Ultimately, what's he after? He wants to make our thoughts righteous and pure and true like his thoughts. He wants to make us in our minds over into the image of Jesus Christ. That's a fantastic thing that God is behind that, and that's his goal with us. So I want to ask you a question today. Do you think that your thoughts daily are being transformed, you know, by the renewal of your mind to be in line with God's thoughts and the things he thinks of? Or are you feeling today that you're daily being conformed in your thoughts to the ways of the thinking of the world, especially by that constant barrage of images flashed in your eyes by the entertainment industry? Well, let's look at this today together and see how we can escape that old, negative, sinful way of thinking, that worldly mindset, and be transformed by God and daily grow in that new mind of Christ that he's given to us. You with me? All right, so let's take a look at this. What does God say to us in his word about renewing your mind? Well, first off, he says, remember, children, I created you with a right mind in the beginning. Way back in the days of Adam, God created Adam with a pure, right, and true mind. Amen? Made over into his image, made in his image. In Genesis 1, we read, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Them. So God originally created Adam with a right mind. And what's that look like, do you think? What is it like to have a pure, perfectly created right mind? It's filled with wisdom, purity, goodness, what is true and just and gracious and kind and forgiving and trusting, with a clean conscience, with a clear vision, with joy, with a peace that passes all understanding, and with a love in all that is right. That's a mind, friends, that is in agreement with all the things that God thinks in his mind, in line with his word and truth. And wouldn't you love to have a mind like that always? That your mind was just crystal clear and beautiful in God? Well, that was the mind that God gave to Adam. Of course, what do we see? Is that how people's minds are today? How your mind is? If you look around at the world, what are people's minds filled with? Avarice, greed, lust, worldly selfish ambition, worldly glory, building earthly empires, the kingdom of self, turning away from God, lies, deception, murder, hatred. Sounds like there's a dead monkey in the line somewhere. Something's gone wrong. Where's that right mind? What happened? Well, God happily tells us that in the Bible, doesn't he? It says in Genesis 3, Satan came along to entice Adam and Eve, to deceive Eve's mind and draw her away from God's thinking and God's word of truth. And he said, you know what? You think you're in the light with God's word? You're in the darkness. God's keeping you in the dark. He knows in the day that you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God. You'll come into the light. And so what'd she do? She bit into it. Adam bit into it. They sinned. And instead of coming into the light, all of a sudden their minds were corrupted. And they had sinned. And a dark, creeping shadow poured over their whole thinking. And what was the result? Instantly, I'm naked. They're ashamed. Fear. They feared each other. They didn't trust each other. And they didn't trust God. You can see how quickly that happened. And God tells us then here the origin of the darkness of man's thoughts. We lost the image of God that we were created in, although we were created in God's image. And we took on rather the image of the evil one with thoughts that were like his. For remember, what was their child's names? What were their child's names? Cain and Abel. Cain murdered his brother. And so this corrupted mind was passed on down to their children, and Cain imitated the actions of the evil one, didn't he? Because of what was here. It didn't start here. It started here and in here. And in Noah's day, the Bible says man's mind was so depraved and so dark that the earth was filled with violence through them. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it grieved God to his heart. You know, I created man with a right mind. Look at him now. And look what they're doing. So what did God do? He determined to make an end of man on the earth, but save Noah and his family. Did that correct the problem?
No.
After the flood, things only went from bad to worse. From dark to darker. You know what we read in the Bible? Check this out in Romans chapter 1. It says, although man knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles. They worshipped idols instead of God. A dark mind, amen? God gave them up to three things. What did he give them up to? Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, sexual sins, murder. Secondly, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in their own persons the due penalty for their error. What's that? Homosexuality. Thirdly, and since they didn't see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a base mind. Say that. Base mind and to improper conduct. They were filled with, and I should know this, all manner of wickedness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. What a great resume. Although they knew God, though they know God's decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them but approve those who practice them. So the Bible gives us a testimony that our minds are darkened because of sin, and that leads to more and more darkness in the mind. But Paul tells us in the Bible to Christians, he says, you must no longer live like the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God within them due to their hardness of heart. What does a dark mind look like? Well, we already mentioned all those wickedness, evil, covetousness, malice, revenge. You see all that in the world, selfish ambition, things like that, right? Especially, the Bible says, a dark mind is a mind that sets itself only on the things of the flesh, only on the things of this life, only on the things of this world. And what do most people in the world seek after because of what's going on in the headquarters here? What do they seek after? Worldly wealth, worldly possessions, worldly fame and glory, worldly passions and treasures and pleasures and lusts, and all those kinds of things of this life that they can see, touch, taste, feel, or experience. But they don't set their minds, because they're dark, on the things of God, unseen things that we are called to set our minds on worldly, on otherworldly glory, the unfading crown of glory, on heavenly riches, on a heavenly kingdom, on being rich and ambitious to be rich toward God in good deeds, and on eternal life in Jesus Christ. For you know what? We meet a lot of people in the world that are pretty decent people that are not Christians, wouldn't you say? I mean, they're nice, right? We have them over to dinner. They're polite. They might give us a turkey at Thanksgiving if we don't have money. Nice people, but their minds are still dark. How do we know this? Because, number one, that mind that's unbelieving does not look to God alone as king, or give thanks to him, or put their trust in him, give him a glory. Secondly, it does not look to God's word of truth with joy and say, yes, that's the truth. And thirdly, it does not look to Jesus Christ alone as the Savior of the world and rejoice in that wonderful, perfect salvation. As long as a mind does not acknowledge God, his word, or Jesus Christ, no matter how good of a person they may seem, God says that mind is dark and is in need of a brilliant light to come into it. For Paul says, in the case of unbelievers, the god of this world, the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who's the likeness of God. And so, what should we be doing? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Do you set your mind on the things of the Spirit? To set the mind on the flesh, on this world only, Paul says, is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit, on the kingdom to come, is life and peace. A mind that is set on the flesh is angry and hostile to God. It won't submit to God's law. It cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And so, we were all in this state at one time, weren't we? Dark minds. In fact, we all still wrestle with some shadows in there. But what did God do for us? Did he leave us there? Did he not care? Did he just abandon us and cast us off and say, dark minds, forget it. Leave them there. Nope. We read in the Old Testament, he prophesied of what he'd do in Christ. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, it's Jeremiah, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers, when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they didn't continue in my covenant, and so I paid no heed to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Watch this. I'll put my law into their minds, and I'll write it upon their hearts. And I'll be their God, they shall be my people, and they shall all know me. For I will be merciful toward their sins, and I will remember their iniquities no more. So what's God promised to do for you? Number one, to save you, that he'll be merciful toward your sins. He'll remember them no more. He did this in Jesus Christ when he sent his son to bear your sins on the cross. Secondly, according to these verses, I'm not only going to save you, I'm going to restore your mind. I'm going to put you back to sanity. I'm going to put my own law, my words, into your minds. That'll be my work and my gift to you. And has God done that for us? He's given us the mind of Christ. Remember that guy that was filled with all those demons called Legion? And Jesus went across the sea and he met this man and he was living amongst the tombs. And people tried to bind him with chains and he'd break them because of the demons within him. He was so strong. And he was found crying out and bruising himself with stones. The guy was not in his right mind. He was depraved, benighted, overcome with darkness. What did Jesus do? Comes to that man in his total imprisoned estate, out, he calls to the demons. And they go into the pigs. They're drowned in the depths of the sea. And then we read this. The herdsmen ran away when they saw what had happened into the city. And the people came to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. Isn't that a beautiful scene? Calm, clear. And this guy who had the demons cast out was now full of joy, peace, righteousness. He acknowledged God as the one true Savior. His power he acknowledged. His word of forgiveness he accepted as truth. He rejoiced in Jesus, and he wanted to obey and stay with him. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That is a right mind. If a person loves God's word, rejoices in God, and loves Jesus, that is a right mind. You're thinking God's thoughts after him. He wanted to stay with Jesus. And Jesus says, no, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. And the man obeyed and ran off to tell all his friends, and all men marveled. That's what God's doing in you. Has he given you a new mind? Has he come and cast off that darkness and saved you through faith in Jesus Christ? Then he's given you also a new mind to love God, to love Jesus, to love his word, to rejoice in it, and to have a clean conscience in the forgiveness of your sins. But now we need to have a new question. How do we grow in that? Anybody's mind here today perfectly pure? Y'all have wonderful thoughts all the time? Don't you have dark, shadowy thoughts flit past your mind each day? Lustful thoughts, prideful thoughts, maybe even a blasphemous thought, or a hateful thought, or a vengeful thought? Well, we all get these kinds of things. So we're not perfect. How do we grow in this? Since we need to be transformed, Paul says, by the renewal of our mind. Well, God says to us two things. Number one, don't be conformed to this world. Right? First part of the verse. Be careful what you're putting into your eyes. Be careful what you're putting into your ears, for they could lead you astray. That's why I preached to you on the entertainment industry a couple weeks ago. You know what? We are living so much in a society, bam, 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 bam. Worldly thoughts trying to train you to a worldly mindset, get it into you. God says you must resist these things. And the second is, be active in the renewal of your minds by setting your mind on the things of God, on Jesus Christ, on the Spirit, and the kingdom to come. Do you know we're called to do that in the Bible over and over again? Paul says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you'll also appear with him in glory. So what should we do? What should we do? If you want to be renewed in your minds and have better and better thoughts as God makes you into the image of Christ, set your mind actively on Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on him. In this wicked, deceptive world that's trying to draw you away, keep your eyes on him. David says, I keep the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I keep my eyes ever on him. All this other stuff is not going to change me, but I'm going to be changed into his image and glory. For Paul says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. Do you know that you become like the things you look at? Remember our video that we just showed there? What did the child do? Watched his father, acted like the one he was looking at. And so God says, look at me, and don't be conformed to this world, but keep your eyes on Jesus. How does this bless you? How does this change you? How does the Holy Spirit do a work of transformation in you? As you set your minds on Jesus, he gives you a new sense of direction in life. I was up Cape Cod a couple of days ago, and So I do kayaking in the morning, very foggy morning. And you know what? I love that. I love kayaking in the fog. I was heading out to Strong Island in another bay. And I went out past my first island. I could see where that was. I thought, I'll just head this way. I'll get to my island. I was going in the fog for a while, kayaking along over the tidal flats. I'm all of a sudden like, ah, that must be my island. I got closer. That wasn't my island. All of a sudden, I realized I have no idea where I am. I passed some wild geese, and they didn't know where I was. I went over to the beach. I finally found the island, but on the way home, it got worse. I said, well, the tide's coming in. This will sweep me over into Little Pleasant Bay. I'll just go this way. I went with the tide. I went over the tidal flats, and then I was like, oh, my goodness, this is lasting a lot longer, and it should. Well, I should see the island soon. What happened? The water got deeper and deeper and deeper. Ah, I must be in Little Pleasant Bay. And then I was like, this is way deeper than Little Pleasant Bay. It just got deeper and longer, and minutes would go by. And you know all I saw? Fog, 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 and water, 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 everywhere. Not a drop to drink. I started actually getting a little bit frightened. I was like, where am I? I have no idea. But then you know what happened? The sun came out just a little bit through the fog, and I could set my course by that. And once I knew where the sun was, I said, this is the direction I need to go. And off to the shore, I made it on a straight beeline, recognized where I was, and went home. You know what that tells us? If you keep your eyes on Jesus, the Son of God, you will never be lost in life. You will have such a right mind, you will be calm and clear and say, no matter what's happening in my life, I know where I have been in sin. I know where I am on the road of life, and I know where I'm going, the heavenly kingdom. You never, ever need be lost in life or confused if you have Jesus before you. And secondly, God does another great thing for us. As we set our minds on Jesus, the Holy Spirit renews our courage and our sense of companionship in life. Another time I was in Cape Cod as a little boy, my dad and I kind of stupidly went out on a little sunfish, 14-foot, little tiny boat, sailing with about 25-mile-an-hour winds. And we headed out, far out into the ocean. Our boat was plunging under the sea on each swell that we went over, the whole boat underwater. I remember starting to kind of cry inside and say, I'm never going to see my sisters again. But you know what? I looked at my dad's face, even though he's not the best sailor. He's a good sailor. And he was calm. He said, we're going to get to shore. I took courage and confidence from looking at him, and we did. God says the same thing in your life. You draw courage when you look at me. I know where I'm going. I'll get you ashore. How else could David have stood up against Goliath? The whole army was looking at the flesh and saying, we can't stand before him. David says, I'm looking at the spirit. This guy is nothing before me. You come to me with a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, and the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Why? Because he was looking at the spirit. That's what God wants for you. Always on Jesus. You'll have courage in your mind. And he'll renew your wisdom as you look at Jesus. Most people in the world live and spend all their energy after gaining a worldly empire, houses, cars, boats, pleasures, lusts, toys. We're not that stupid if we look at Jesus Christ, who tells us all these things are fading like a flower in the field. But seek for me eternal riches, eternal glory, and eternal kingdom. You keep your eyes on that. You're ambitious to be rich in good deeds. You will not be disappointed. You live wisely because your eyes are on Jesus. He also gives us a new spirit with respect to suffering in our minds. For this slight momentary affliction we know is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. We don't look to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For what is seen is passing away, but what's unseen is eternal. Do you know that? You have a new mind with respect to suffering. And with respect to love, we love because he first loved us. Jesus gave and laid down his life for us. We now see, I want to lay down my life for other people. And as we set our minds on Jesus, this is the last one, we have a peace that passes all understanding. Because you know what? You might be afraid in your life of God or of people or of things or of life in general, but you keep your eyes on Jesus, friends, on that cross, and at the right hand of God where he is now, and you'll say, I have a merciful and faithful high priest. He has promised me he will remember my sins and my misdeeds no more. There is forgiveness of my sins. I have a clean, bright, fresh relationship with God through his shed blood. I know that he chose me and before the foundation of the world. I know that he's making me holy and blameless before him. I know he destined me in love to be his son through Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely bestowed on me in the beloved. I know I am redeemed through his blood. I have the forgiveness of my trespasses according to the riches of his grace which he lavished upon us. That is a richness the world and the cannot know. You have a peace if you'll but look to him. And God's mind, friends, is the most fabulous thing. Because when we look at God, we realize his mind is always on us. Isn't that cool? Job says, what is man that you make so much of him? And you set your mind upon him and visit him every morning and test him every moment. But God's mind is on you. That's why he wants your mind on him. Even the hairs of your head are all numbered, friends. He is ever mindful of his covenant, of the word that he's commanded for 1,000 generations. And he loves you in Jesus Christ. And all of us with an unveiled face beholding his glory are being changed by the Spirit from one degree of glory to another. For all this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So set your minds and be active to keep them on Jesus despite all the temptations that there are in the world. Yes, as Paul said, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, just, pure, lovely, gracious, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things and guess what? The God of peace will be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Transformation of the Mind, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Pastor Greg Lucier, and if you're looking for a church home or would like to just stop by and visit, our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Christ Lutheran Church is located on A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to leave a comment on this message or hear more messages, you can go to ChristLutheran915.org. That's ChristLutheran915.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our souls, and God bless you.